Okay, I'm calling the meeting to order, the May 15th, 2018, regular board meeting of the Glen Cove Park District. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Right, 7:01. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay, next item, our consent agenda items, A through C, are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda? No. Okay. Then I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
So moved.
Second, Commissioner Gaines, and second?
I think Commissioner Ludden.
Okay.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay. Matters from the public. It's our practice not to address questions at this time. We'll take input under advisement. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes per person. We have anyone who wants to say something? Yes, please. Welcome. Thank you very much for coming. Please stand at the podium. We are recording this for posterity.
I'm Bob Seidman. I live at 156 Green Bay Road. Fortunately, I live very close to the Everly Wildflower Sanctuary, which I enjoy very much. I'm here to say that the entrance to it at Jackson and Linden could use some attention. The stones are old and they're broken and missing in some places, and the whole thing looks kind of unappealing. It's meant to be partly a bench, and that doesn't really work so well either for people. I'm hoping that you would give it some attention in your next budget and consider upgrading this. I believe that Mr. Everly himself, in fact, might have been partly responsible for the design of it. In any event, it's really quite a handsome prairie design. If it were cleaned up, it would really be a pride in the community. It doesn't look that way just now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
May I just say something real quick?
Yes, please.
I just wanted to let you know that there is money budgeted in this fiscal year for the... Yes. And so...
I
it'll probably
in the paper, so I wasn't sure. I saw one long part, a couple of others.
It'll be phased in over the next 2 or 3 years, so you'll see us quietly do things, including a prescribed burn in that area. So we did note that, and we're working on that.
Thank you.
Thank you
for bringing that to our attention. Okay. Next item on the agenda is approval of Resolution 881 for Bill Edridge. For 30 years of service.
Bill could not attend because he is usually here at 4:30 in the morning, so this is his bedtime.
Okay.
So, but if you could read.
Should I read this?
Yes,
motion?
Please, for. I'm sure he'll go back and listen to the minutes, so he'll be.
Okay. Plus, he gets a copy of this, too.
He does,
yes. Okay. This is a resolution from the Glen Cove Park District for Bill Eldridge. For 30 years of service, this is resolution number 881. Whereas Bill Eldridge was employed by the Glen Cove Park District, by the Park District staff of the Park and Facilities team beginning on April 19, 1988. Whereas in realization of his consistent commitment of time, energy, and expertise to the betterment of services and facilities of the district, and whereas Bill has been a vital part of the Parks and Facilities team, in which he has over the years provided selfless leadership, exceptional patience, mentorship, unparalleled commitment, and exceedingly hard work, and whereas his service, passion, and skill as facility maintenance staff and working up to the Park District's facility maintenance supervisor has been an asset to the Glen Cove Park District, and whereas Bill served the Park District during a period of significant challenges and rapid change, and whereas Bill has served the Glen Cove Park District in a loyal and faithful manner for 30 years, and the residents of Glen Cove have benefited from his dedication and professionalism as facilities maintenance supervisor, his knowledge and expertise in the development and regular maintenance of amenities and improvements in various facilities, the development and expansion of Lot Center and Take-Up Center into community hubs for residents to enjoy, the natural beauty of Glencoe's lakeshore, the Ada and Paul Safran Beach House, Perlman Bodie Beach, and others' contributions too numerous to note. Therefore, now be it resolved by the Glencoe Park District Board of Commissioners, representing all the residents of the Park District, recognizing the meritorious service of Bill Ugly and recorded in the permanent records of the Glencoe Park District for all to see. This resolution shall be in full force and in effect immediately upon its passage, and this will be adopted the 15th day of May, 2018. We do need a roll call vote.
If there's still a motion. We need a motion.
Can I make the motion? No.
What's the motion?
To approve the resolution.
To approve that.
I make a motion to approve the resolution 881.
Okay, and second.
So moved. Or second.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
I would just like to add, even though Bill's not here and hopefully he listens to the audio, Bill is one of those, the key facility member of our team. He knows the history. You need to know something about the beach house or this building. He can just pull it up. He's so dedicated. He's usually here every morning at sunrise and takes a picture of the sunrise. And then gets right to work. If there's something that happens on the weekend, he is here fixing it. You know, he trains his team members to his standard. So Glencoe Park District has been very blessed to have him over the last 30 years. And such dedication, you don't find that very often. And we are just, he's just a very knowledgeable man. So, Chris, do you have anything else to add?
He was a great guy. People call him Mr. Automatic on the staff. I mean, he's here with the sunrise, and you know, he's a really great asset to the park district. I would not be successful without him on my team. He's a great asset.
Very true.
In Janice.
Yep.
Thank you.
So we'll make sure we deliver. We have a platform. We'll deliver to him. And so, thank you.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is the election of president and vice president. And Lisa, you are the board secretary, and you will hold the election for
us.
Is that right?
Yes, I will. As board secretary, it is my pleasure to open nominations for president of the board. Are there any nominations for president?
I nominate Lisa Brooks.
I will second the nomination.
Okay. Any other nominations? Hearing no further nominations, the nomination for president are closed. Roll call vote approving Lisa Brooks as president of the park board or as park board president. So I need a motion.
So moved.
Okay, Dudley, second.
Second.
There you go, Stephanie. Commissioner Bourne.
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks.
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines.
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden.
Yes.
President Underdunk.
Yes.
All right. At this time, these two have to switch roles.
And places.
You guys switch places. Yep.
There's no lame duck period.
There's no lame duck. Immediately. They go right in. Switch it up. That's why you put them so close together. It's like, don't plug in. Don't plug in yet, Dudley. We're moving you.
No, I'm here. Okay.
All right. All right, as board secretary, it is my pleasure to open nominations for vice president of the board. Are there any nominations for vice president?
I nominate Stephanie Bourne.
Okay.
I'll second that nomination.
All right. Any other nominations? Hearing no further nominations, the nominations for vice president are closed. Roll call vote approving Stephanie Bourne as park board vice president. Need a motion?
I'll move to
Okay, Dudley?
Second.
Ludden. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
All right. Now I turn it over to you.
OK.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Lisa, Stephanie.
Thank you.
It's rough.
Okay. I move to appoint Dudley as treasurer, Robert Bush of Ansel Glink, Diamond Bush, and others as general legal counsel and ethics officer, Lisa Shepherd as secretary to the board and executive director, Dudley as representative to the Glencoe Plan Commission, Lisa Shepherd and Jennifer Runkle as Freedom of Information Act officers. Do I have a second?
Second.
Who's that? Steve?
Steve.
Because he's loud right near.
Yes.
Okay.
A roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren.
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines.
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden.
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk.
Yes.
President Brooks.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So I am going to announce the appointments for Finance Committee of the Whole. The chair is Dudley and members are everybody else, all the commissioners. For Special Projects and Facilities Committee, chair is Dudley, members are everybody, all the commissioners. Personnel and Policy Committee, chair is Josh Lutton, members are Lisa and Dudley. And I'm going to continue with the advisory committees. For the Glencoe Beach and Lakefront Advisory Committee, chair is Josh. Watts Advisory Group, chair is Steve Gaines. Early Childhood Advisory Group, the liaison will continue to be Stephanie Boron. And for NSSRA, the liaison will continue to be Lisa Shepherd, the executive director.
All right. Nice job.
So, I could do this, right? Financially, but I announced it. Financially, so I just.
This financial, yeah.
Okay. So, we'll continue with the financial report. 2 months of the fiscal year are now complete. Carol,
sure,
you like to comment?
There's nothing really jumping out at me yet in the early stages of the year. Looking at the net surplus and rec programs, we were coupled the last year. Up over daycare, the expenditures side is a little bit bigger than last year, I think because of the changes in health insurance and some of the staffing. But there's nothing really that's jumping out yet if you have any specific questions.
No questions? Okay.
Any questions?
What about the bond reading? We can talk about that later.
Yeah, that's in our reports. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Carol.
Sure.
Continuing with staff reports, business.
Oh, let's see here. Well, we've got the bond rating.
There we go.
So, excited
about it.
Very, very, very pleased to get the call from Bridget at Moody's stating that we had been upgraded to a AAA bond rating, and it was great news. I think it put in my packet some of the information that they had discussed in the conference call. I think really giving them all the information prior to the call was very helpful and helped you kind of down to a minimum. But I was kind of surprised. I was not thinking. I think based on what had been told to us in the conference call is that due to our size, it could be hard to change from a AA1 rating. So it was a nice surprise.
And I was talking to other park district directors with even larger park districts, budget-wise, and they said, we've been trying to get that, and we've been told that, you know, that's almost impossible to get, and based on the state of the Springfield and what's happening down there, it's extremely difficult. So they're a little jealous that we were able to get that. And they said, that's our great fiscal planning, and it's the division between how much we take in for taxes, how much we generate for revenue from our programs, and then our fund balances and our foresight and planning out our projects. So all that attributed. So it's really a team effort to get to that place. But thank you, Carol, for your leadership. So it's something we're very extremely proud of.
How often do they reassess, Carol? Pardon?
How often do they reassess?
They do it every 3 years, I believe, within a three-year mark. So they send annually, but we have an instance we went through the last time in 2015. So, you know, they get our annual reports. It's part of the annual bond compliance that we have to do is reported. And I think they saw a positive upward trend, and they want to just touch base on why that is. So it could be a negative, but, you know, as long as you maintain, I don't think they do it other than every 3 years.
Okay. Carol, well, this will probably not impact the interest we pay on the bonds we've already issued, correct?
No, it will not.
So
it will be on
really
the
financially benefit us next time we need to issue bonds.
Yes, it will result in some additional savings there based on our AAA rating.
And correct. Other goodies that come from this, other than just, you know, bragging rights?
I think great PR. Mm-hmm. The timing with the gold medal finals announcement was perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just shows.
I mean, it's really good.
It just really shows our community that we are a really good fiscal. That's part of our mission is to make sure that we're financially stable and run very lean. So this is just another example of that.
Good stewards of the public purse.
That's a great way to put it.
Any other comments or questions? No. Recreation facilities.
Yeah, we opened the boathouse on Saturday. It was a little chilly still.
Thank the boathouse for the awful weather.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The usual crowd opening weekend. So. Great to see everybody after a long winter. Staff's working really hard on getting trainings ready, getting the beach ready. We had camp director training this afternoon for some of our camps, so we're really starting to hit the ground for the summer. We have a busy weekend coming up with a train event here at TACIP, and then we're working with the school district and public safety on the bike rodeo. We've also got training for our lifeguards in the pool at Wilmette where we partner with them. And we've got the boathouse open. We're working on camp, and you know, camp overall is doing well. We're seeing that usual change in camp enrollment based on grade size. So some are doing well, some are behind last year, but overall we're ahead. You'll notice in the boat revenue side, it's significantly higher. That's based on that we have pretty much, we're at maximum capacity in the aquatics and sailing camp, but that's going to level off now that we're pretty much at capacity. Just working on getting ready for the summer.
Bobby, do you anticipate we're going to have the available catamaran beach storage space that we had planned for given the rough storms we've seen since the beach closed last fall?
It's a great question. So we are confident that we're going to be able to accommodate everybody that has sand spots. We had actually budgeted slightly less because we've had some attrition that we didn't want to replace until we were sure that we had the space for. So we're about $3,000 short of budget, $3,000 or $4,000 short of what we had budgeted for sand spaces, which is extremely good right now. So we're confident we're going to be able to accommodate everybody on the sand spots. On racks and paddle boards, we're good. But you just don't know what's going to happen with a big storm.
Right.
So generally that water level rises at the end of June, beginning of July.
Okay.
So we're got all the boats on the south side right now. And we're watching and giving ourselves flexibility on the North Beach. And we're probably going to start moving over late this week or next to start filling those spots and rearranging as necessary. But we're feeling pretty good.
Good.
We'll be able to squeeze everyone in, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Is the locker construction and the other construction completed?
So we're probably 75% there. The weather really, we had some high water about 2 weeks ago, which washed away one of the footings. So we had to relocate one of them. But I think we're about 75% there. It's just been so cold and rainy. It's, you know, using power tools out in the rain isn't ideal right now. So
they're working really hard. Between all the other tasks they have to do, we really have to juggle what takes priority and what doesn't. So
48 are available right now.
Yeah.
So if folks come down,
they get lockers.
We do have lockers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're bigger.
Yeah, they're a lot cheaper.
You can put your chair in there.
Now. Wow. Very good thinking. I like that.
People did ask, which is new, that on the lockers, we put locks on all the lockers. In the past, we didn't have locks on them, and then the people would come and put their stuff in and lock with their lock without paying their storage fee. So now they come down, we take off our lock, and they put theirs on after they pay for it. So.
Yeah.
Just very smart, very, very smart thinking there. I was very impressed with that. So, you know.
Is there a wait list for Boat storage.
For sand spots, there is.
Sand spots.
Mm-hmm. We've had it going since probably June last year. Okay. We haven't taken anybody off it.
Oh, boy. And how many are on the
Six list? Or seven.
Is there a priority for Glencoe residents?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then we'll continue to raise the to widen the gap between resident and not resident.
Yes.
Yeah, slowly.
Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, I think you answered this before. The sailing camp and the aquatic camp, because that's a big variance this year,
mm-hmm.
because we added camps, is that correct?
So last year was the first year of it, and it was kind of, you know, ticking along, and as people did it during the summer, they realized how great it was, and they signed up for more and more and more, uh-huh. and then we really had an early push this year, and one of them were at 10 on the wait list, another were at 8 on the wait list, so we're really at the maximum for what we can accommodate down there, given the size of the facility and the number of staff and boats and things like that. So it's really popular. We're seeing a big trend towards those kind of specialty camps, and we're really working on listening to what people want and creating them for them.
The hardest part in these kind of specialty camps is that just because there's a waiting list, we can't just expand mm-hmm. it because yes. of equipment and safety.
Staff.
So that'll probably be the most frustrating thing to people is like they want to get into these mm-hmm. and they want us to get them in, but we really there's some limitations there. Just so you guys are prepared for that, but that's okay. Next year they'll sign up earlier, and
correct.
And we're already going to talk about how we can stage it so that you know we can make it something they look forward to. You know,
right? And they're not all full. There's just certain weeks.
Right.
It's the traditional Glencoe thing where one person got 10 of their friends to do it,
yeah.
and then everyone heard about it and also wants to be in that same class. So,
yeah. So, yeah.
yeah.
Hmm. Any other questions?
Okay. Moving on to marketing and communications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We welcomed our first graphic designer, a part-time graphic designer, this 2 weeks ago. So that's very exciting for me. We also are working really hard on getting the gold medal video script ready to go, and we will be filming this weekend and Monday of next week. So we might be asking some people for help to like some more community voices. So stay tuned.
We want to put some more stakeholders on the video.
Oh, cool.
Can we go back for a second?
Okay, on what, Josh? Parks and maintenance?
Or no?
Arts and youth and spending.
Okay.
There were, if I am understanding this correctly, there were only 18 students that participated in the Earth Day.
School day off students.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that down from last year, or has it always been like that? It seems like there's a lot more students than 18.
It's two different programs.
Yeah, you're thinking of two different things.
Yeah, so the school day off program generally, so we've seen around 20 to 30 people enrolled in those at this time of year. People tend to go for those three-day weekends, and it was a Friday this year. That's pretty normal for this time, yeah.
But the Earth Day program was also in combination with the village.
The Earth Day program had 90 total.
Yeah.
18 was in our care for the whole day.
Yeah, so that's the difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's much better.
Yeah, you're like, why? So that's a partnership program with the school district and the village and us. So,
yeah.
So those 18 kids we keep all day, and they come in the morning, and then they do other activities besides just Earth Day, and then.
Because I've been in that Earth Day program.
Yeah.
Kids participate this year, but I remember there being like at least 18 kids just at Everly.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So
and they were.
Because
they get lunch and do a morning
there's a subset,
activity.
Yeah. So then
yeah.
the rest of them were spread out, so there was 90 or something, right?
Mm-hmm. My second question was about fitness. Could we just compare the membership of 180 versus kind of what we had in our plan?
We're hoping, what, for 200?
200,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So we're almost there.
We're seeing, so we just launched a campaign to attract some of the students who come home for the summer, and we've had people really interested, a lot of parents calling to ask questions about signing their kids up. We're doing a promotion for the 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll see a spike in those memberships, but they're going to be seasonal. They're not going to be.
Yeah.
So it'll be a 3 month kind of summer.
Yeah, but hopefully, hopefully they'll talk to their parents, and then the parents may come and join after that too. So that's there's some.
And you'll probably get a bump too in the fall
mm-hmm.
when summer comes and stuff. And
yeah.
You know, it's just the way it is.
Okay.
Erin, were you?
Oh, sorry.
I gotta go backwards. But were you finished?
Oh yeah, I'm done.
Okay, so we'll back up to parks and maintenance. Sorry about that, Chris.
Oh, it's okay. Lisa kind of hinted at a little bit, we've been really challenged with some very foul weather that we've all experienced. So soggy parks, some cool temperatures that have been kind of tough to contend with, but we've been pushing through it to stay on track with all of our work throughout the park district. So beach preparations, boathouse, as Bobby indicated, working on the lockers, athletic fields, Berlin Field, all those different areas. So this is just that busy time of the year where you feel like you can be everywhere every day. And we've been just preparing to move forward on everything. Any specific questions?
I just have a couple things to highlight in this one. If you notice in here, and the gentleman's gone now, that's why I wanted to bring it up, because that we had started the stewardship of Everly Wildflower Sanctuary. So I believe what they removed 30 dead trees from in there, pruned 96 trees. So we're starting to work in that area.
Yeah, so we had Nels Jonathan out and he did the removals when it was still cold, the ground was frozen, and now Pizzo's taking over with some removals of shrubs and other invasives and things like that. So.
And we're planning on doing the prescribed burn in the...
Yes, so we are working towards that. Pizzo's handling all the permitting for us and alerting the village and whatnot. We're hoping to try to do that over the Thanksgiving break when school is out.
Mm-hmm. Good. So that will help. There hasn't been a bird in there for a while, and that will really help that area a lot.
It's really stinky and bomb problems and all kinds of things.
And I know we talked about our newest sustainability effort, which is the beehives. So that's very exciting. Chris and his guys did all the research and familiarized themselves with it. They went to a conference session on it. This is something that a lot of park districts are taking the initiative to do. So. There's so many benefits to bees that we're happy to work on that. And I know the Friends of Green Bay Trail and the Glencoe Community Guardian are very happy with this. And, they all know the benefits of that, too. So.
We're going to get there. We're going to have honey.
Yeah, we're going to have honey.
We already had a little bit already this spring. And the first check on the hive, we were able to get a little bit of honey out. So.
Wow.
It's a pretty exciting moment. I conquered my fears and now a beekeeper apprentice. So.
Anywhere near.
Oh, now Stephanie.
The thing is, when you wear the mask, you want to be looking wings away, because if the wings are towards you, that means they're on the inside of your bee. That's kind of the first thing you learn, which side of the bee you really want to look at.
Is it the kind of thing where you also plant stuff in the vicinity so that it's good for the bees or creates better honey?
We actually just planted a few smaller fruit trees along the berm back there.
Good.
And the bees have been frequenting our greenhouse, so the flowers that we have outside. So our veteran beekeeper from Sweetcomb was actually really surprised that we had nectar this early in the season. He said that was kind of abnormal for the location. So we've probably got about 20,000 bees in each hive right now, so it's pretty cool.
That's exciting. Very cool.
If I eat local honey, it will make my allergies to tree pollen go away.
Yep, someone told me that too.
Really?
Yep, supposed to lessen them, yep. So hopefully, we'll see. And I have to tell you that the recreation team and the park team have been working a lot to get GBA games in as whenever possible. Mm-hmm. So between the communication, the parks guys doing all the work, and the rec team taking a lot of their time, just kind of communicate why and when we cannot get on fields. It's hard when you have a really wet spring like we've had. So believe it or not, we had people calling today when we play games, not forgetting that we had 3 inches of rain over the last couple of days. So whenever you see sun out, they expect to be playing that day. So that's always something we're communicating. So if you have anybody up to you, I know I sent you how we determine when fields are playable, but if we walk on it and we start sinking, that means we can't get equipment on there. That's really the test. So I want to assure you that our team is doing whatever possible to get those kids out and playing. So.
How are our communications to GBA being received?
Very well. Actually, the GBA board and the coaches are fine. It's more we're trying to educate the parents, as seems to be our, communication. So we are going to schedule a meeting with GBA representatives. Right now is the height of their season, so they're not able to get anything. We understand that. But then, whoever we assign two people to sit down with them, that's what we're going to really try to work on, is how do we communicate to the parents what we can and have a unified message, and I think that's where we're lacking right now, if I would look down and really think of things. And we're also looking at, I read an interesting article just the other day about how they're thinking, or this article about that high school baseball should actually be pushed back into the summer because no one can get their season in, and we're dealing with the same thing, is where they want to start, and I know why, right after spring break, and then be done at the school year, but it's almost impossible with the weather the way it is. We're still getting snow April 1st, so we actually moved all of our outdoor programs don't start till about April 15th. That's when we would recommend them they start. And if for some reason we had a really dry spring, well, then we're exceeding people's expectations and they can get on earlier. But it just seems frustrating to everybody if they're canceling games three weeks because there's no way we can get on there. So that's something we still have to work with them on.
Is there any possibility that it could be at the very end of the summer when all the camps are done, everything's done, and like...
They do a fall season, but it conflicts with something else, too. So
basketball?
No, it's fall. The basketball's not really fall. Is it? Yeah. So, but they prefer doing spring ball. So so we'll continue to, and if anything, we're just going to have to figure out how to communicate so that we're all on the same front, so they're not saying, you know, they understand why we can't get them on playing, which it's hard. Every community right now in Illinois is having the same issue in this area of wanting kids to get out and play unless you have an AstroTurf field or, you know, a field that you spend $500,000 in drainage, which is one of our fields. It's hard to get people out there playing.
Even that, I looked at it the other day, and it's like,
exactly. So,
and that's top of the line.
That's the best drainage you need, right? You know, so, but we'll continue to work on that. Just wanted to give you an FYI on that one. So,
okay, can we move on to safety?
We can.
Okay, on to safety and wellness.
Do you, safety coordinators, have anything to add?
Continuing to pursue the loss control review. So it's kind of that time where we're gathering everything together, preparing for the audit with them.
Yeah, so we do a big audit this year, so we're reviewing everything, going trainings. I know that we're developing the training schedules for camp and the beach. So obviously safety is the number one priority in actually both programs and in all of our programs. So we have a big emphasis on that, and we'll continue to review those agendas and make sure we train our young staff as they come into very important decisions.
Okay. Lisa, do you have some...
We are National Gold Mile finalists again. Woohoo! So that's our big news. Very excited. Kind of kept a secret when we were applying, and we were very happy to be in another short group of other park districts around the nation that are, you know, excel in park and recreation management. So again, we'll find out about this at the NRPA conference. So right now we are working on our gold medal video. So it'll be different than last year's because we are changing it up a little bit.
We're using about half of the footage last year.
Oh. Yeah, so
we're using adding stuff like the fitness center and the bees, the walking pads.
Yeah, which are all... bond ratings, things like that. So we're very excited about that. This year, NRPA is in Indianapolis, so it makes it a little easier to get there. Oh. So so that was another motivation for, you know, for it. Other than that, we have our all-staff training on Thursday, May 31st, and that's when we bring in all of our part-time and seasonal staff to do training with a professional speaker. We're actually able to get the same speaker that spoke at the ICRA conference this year is from Illinois. He's going to come here and do our training. So we're very excited about that. So if you're able to, please join us that night. Our summer theme this year is put some play in your day. So that'll be on our T-shirts. Put some play in your day.
Put some play in
your
day. So. That'll be best.
And we're starting to get ready for parks. Those will be started very, very soon. I represented the park district at the village's 150th anniversary planning committee. I just can't say the words, so they're going to try to make me. I just really can't. And they did a cute video of all these people that couldn't say it. And I was like, that's me. So I'm going to embarrass myself. So some ideas that I guess we're going to submit, that's what you do, submit them, is that our our ceramic studio said they would do 150 ceramic bowls. So we'll do ceramic students, kids, adults, and then really anybody else who wants to do it. And then they're going to hopefully take those bowls, and they can take them to a Glencoe establishment and get a discount. They may even raffle them off at the big gala they're going to have. I forgot the date for the gala, but they're going to have a big gala at the Botanical Gardens that's already been secured for 2019. They suggested that we hold a beach party, which we're looking into. We do normally do that kind of thing, so we would do it again, and then we'll work with the village to enhance the 4th of July celebration for some of our ideas. Paint rocks at special events with their logo. We came up with this idea. There's some towns that are doing this, and kids paint a rock, and then they hide them in the park, and then you find the rock. It's kind of a wellness, rocks of kindness. That'd be a way to get people in our parks.
Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah. Are you familiar with geocaching?
Yes.
I wonder if there's some way to get these rocks of kindness registered as geo.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, possible.
You get a lot of kids poking around.
Wellness walk and bike rides. We suggested maybe if there's someone from the Historical Society lady knows, we would do that. And then in our fitness, we have our monitors. We can put little messages on, so we could put messages throughout the year if they supplied us with those little short messages, just educating our members on Glencoe history. So those are some ideas. So I was also at the Glencoe Active Transportation Plan Committee workshop. I know Dudley was there and Josh was there also. They had some great ideas, and some of those ideas directly correlated with our project on Old Green Bay, so that'll be exciting to take some of those when the notes come in. I was bopping around the different tables, and everybody seemed to be talking about that and had some really great ideas for that, to extend the Green Bay Trail. So I think we're on the right path of there. We're just, you know, once we keep on moving along with that idea, have a community meeting on that. So other than that, I think that's the other one is that I want to update you on the NSSRA capital facility acquisition plan, because I believe Josh and Stephanie, I don't know, Lisa and Dudley, were you here when this came about? Probably about eight years ago, NSSRA came and talked to the board and all of its partners about finding a permanent home for NSSRA. I don't know if you've ever been to their home office, but it's in an industrial park. There's big semis going by, and they have kids waiting for programs and stuff and pickups. It's just not conducive. And we know that NSSRA uses all of its member facilities. They will still do that, but they purposely wanted to find a permanent home and some permanent programming space. As you know, gymnasiums for all of us are at our prime, and they really wanted a gymnasium of their own. Okay. So through the years, they've been searching for the proper site for this. They had some goals. They wanted to add on a facility or work with another park district for their facilities. So they investigated Highland Park, and they investigated, actually they even looked at a church at one point, and then this Northbrook Park District project came online. So it's actually a wonderful partnership. NSSRA will pay for its building space itself. Northbrook will pay for theirs themselves. But this will give NSSRA office space of their own and a gymnasium and I think like another multi-purpose room. In addition, they will also add some funds into Northbrook's plan, which is like a walking trail and some other fitness amenities that will really benefit our members because they're part of us. So they have a very active foundation, which I actually am the liaison to, and they already have, they're starting to roll out their capital campaign. They already had a family, Mitch Slott, and I don't know if any of you know him. He unfortunately just passed away. Before he passed away, it was sudden cancer. He was more than thrilled to know that this was going to be fulfilled. He donated $1 million immediately to this project. So they're looking to raise $5 million on their own to pay for the gymnasium and some of those things. And then they're looking for their member agencies to pay for the remainder of it. So we've been putting away money for this for
it's
2012, I believe.
12. For the eventually. So we had a plan, okay, let's start saving now so when it came through that we would have everything. So we're moving in that direction. They've hired an architect. The foundation has started their fundraising campaign. So I just wanted to bring you all up to date and see if you guys have any questions or concerns or anything with this as we move forward. It's north with the Northbrook Park District. I believe it's by their Techne campus. You know where that is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
They a couple years ago, you saw in the newspaper, they were looking to maybe buy a tennis club out there, and that fell through the referendum. So this is actually a better site. It'll be a new building. They'll have to try to refit something.
Yeah.
This would be all new building. So. I put more information in here as about the funding sources, the vision, what they're looking for, estimated cost for a new facility are all in here for you to look at.
So do you expect to be asking each member, like the Black Hawk Park District, to make a contribution to the building?
Well, we already are through our special rec fund, yes.
Okay, and we've already.
Yeah, it's about
6 or 7,000
a year that
we've
been charging since 2012.
Okay. You don't anticipate there being anything on top?
They might ask for a little bit more, but not an incredible amount, yeah.
Lisa, a question to kind of frame things a little more. The NSSRA, how many community or how many park districts? I view it as kind of like an umbrella.
Right, so we are.
Number of park districts.
Oh, yeah, there's, 13 member park districts?
14.
14 member park districts, I believe it's in here. So it's all the North Shore, goes all the way from Lake Bluff, all the way to Wilmette, to Northbrook, to Deerfield. Yeah, that's the outside of it. So there's 13 to 14 of us on there.
I know it's part of our yearly budget. Is that calculated by population?
Yes, it's calculated by population.
Okay. And the capital.
And EAV.
The capital, EAV and population.
Yes.
Okay. And then the capital funds we've been accumulating over a number of years, that's been also part of the budget process for the past, 3-4 years or more?
Since 2012.
Oh, 2004.
Yeah, it's actually a separate line item in our budget.
So we must have a pretty good chunk of money in that account.
Well, actually, it's sent directly to them. They actually invoice us and money is given to them. So they manage it.
Mm-hmm. You said 2012?
Mm-hmm.
It was 2012-13. I know when we first started talking about it in 2012, mm-hmm. and they started going it shortly thereafter.
I'm sitting next to Josh, and that treasurer's responsibility is kind of shifting.
So,
that
pushed over
there.
She thinks.
So, if you haven't, I would recommend looking over all this and some great information. So that's all I have to add. As it starts rolling down, Craig Culp, the executive director of NSSRA, will come talk to the board also at some point. But we just want to see if you guys had any questions leading up to any concerns or anything like that. I'm sorry.
Well, and
13.
You said that
they
would continue to utilize other facilities.
Without a doubt, yes, that will not stop at all.
Oh.
They will continue to. They use our facility quite a bit.
That's what I was thinking. So I was wondering.
Yes,
but that's a different kind of programming.
Different kind of programming.
And then they would do
exactly.
One multi-purpose
yes,
gym. Gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then their offices are there. It'll be such a better location for pick up and drop off. They'll actually have like a kind of a lobby waiting area. So if you ever come here on, I think Fridays or. We have a lot of NSSRA members waiting in the lobby for people to pick up.
Yep.
They don't have that right now where they are. They have this little vestibule. There's semis all over the place. So the kids will be able to come socialize with each other before they get on the bus to leave to programs or when they're dropping off
really
waiting
important.
For parents, which is really important.
The
that's
transitioning.
The transition
really
social uh-huh. aspect is so important.
Mm-hmm.
This is their outlet. Very timely, and it's nice to see that the foundation is equally giving money. They'll probably equally give about 50% of what this will cost for SSRA too. They're looking.
I see $8 million.
Yes. Okay. So they're looking to raise at least $4 million.
And you're a liaison for the foundation?
Yes.
Do you work with Mark Carrasco?
I do. Okay. Yes.
Let me know if he's not being generous.
I think he's going to be very generous. He's a very nice guy. We actually have two or three families. Slotnick's one of them. The son is from this community. We have three families on the foundation board, and there's only, I think, there's 13 member communities, so I think there's 10 on the foundation right now. So we are well represented, and Glencoe has always been very generous. I guess what they would ask is if you know any families that would be so inclined to give to this kind of building, they are looking for names that we can send to their, they have a group that they hire to do the fundraising to work
Mark
with the foundation. Mark's the first one. So I'm sure he's giving names too, but if anybody has any names that you think it's definitely a worthy cause and they're looking to raise those funds, so.
Do they have a timetable?
Yeah, they are looking probably to break ground. It was just moved up probably next year.
Mm-hmm. Do you see that as freeing up any space here?
No. Nope, they will still need the space here.
Still use 100% of the space they're using now.
Yes, again, they don't use our gym very much because our gym is not available very much. Yeah. So occasionally they use it for dances, some programs in the afternoon, but that's really what they'll have, a multi-purpose space and a gymnasium, so nothing will be taken from here. They will not, you know, originally, I don't know if you were on the board about 3 or 4 years ago, they were thinking about having the adult day program here.
Yeah.
They came back actually last year and asked us if we would consider that again, and I actually had to say no because at this time we didn't have the space.
Mm-hmm.
Now they will have space there, so they will not be coming to us for that ask.
Which all sort of worked out very well.
It did, and I said, I really can't give up the space now with the, we're just growing so much, I couldn't dedicate a room. Mm-hmm. 3 years later, who would have thought? But mm-hmm. So then they
Isn't
go, actually, it's okay because we're coming. And then, like a month later, this came down the pike and we're like, okay, there we go. So,
just falling in place. Good.
Yeah.
All right, so any other comments or questions about any of the reports?
Actually, Lisa, I did notice in the report, we started contributing in 2014.
14.
13, 14.
Thank you, Carol.
And it's over an 11-year period, and we will in total contribute about $85,000 over the course of that time.
Okay.
Some of the larger entities, Glenview is contributing $386,000, so there is a calculation there based on the amount, but ours will be right around $85,000 over the 10, 11-year period.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay, so we're going to move on to the action items.
Okay.
I entertain a motion to approve the post-issuance tax compliance report as presented.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion on that?
All right.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner London?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Okay, I entertain a motion to approve resolution number 882, bank depository relationship with BMO Harris Bank as presented.
Oh.
They're fighting over it now.
I'm going to give it to you.
Second.
Steve and then Dudley is second. Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Oh, brother.
I'm sorry, President Brooks. What did I say? Sorry. I just gave you a promotion within like 5 minutes.
You're going to have to move seats.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. I entertain a motion to approve for subdivision with the Village of Glencoe for the 11,700 square feet occupied by the residents at 233 Linden Ave from Park 22S as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll
call. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
Look at
a free question.
Yes.
So if I'm the momentary president,
yeah,
can I direct park staff to rebuild chins already?
It is shameful. You're finished. I entertain a motion to approve the expansion of the Children's Circle beginning September 2018, including the addition of 3 grade 1 full-time employees, and to amend the budget accordingly via the supplemental appropriation ordinance as presented.
Second.
Any discussion?
I assume grade 1 is just like your terminology.
Yes.
And grade 1 means anything?
Full-time.
Of full-time. Full-time. Got it. Okay. All righty. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. I entertain a motion to approve Ordinance Number 883, Supplemental Appropriation to Fiscal Year March 1, 2018 to February 28, 2018, as presented.
2019.
Yeah, it is 2019. That would be really like a weird backwards thing, huh? Okay.
Good catch.
So corrected to February 28, 2019 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Can I just ask Carol to explain what this is?
Okay. Sure.
So last at the committee meeting, what we said that what we had to do is amend the budget appropriation ordinance that we had just filed the month before. So that's the legal document that gets filed with the county clerk's office. So after the committee meeting, I reached out and I said, hey, I just want to make sure we're going through the amendment process. And the attorney, he asked a couple questions and he said, is the changes to your budget going to be supported by revenues that are also going to be part of the expansion project? I said, yes. Anticipating making over 42,000 additional money, he said, that we don't have to go through the official budget amendment process that's stated in the Park District Code. We can do this because the additional revenues will pay for the additional expenses.
Thank you.
Good.
Yeah. So it saved us a lot of time.
Yes. Yeah.
And then, yeah.
I'm very thrilled about that.
Anything else? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Okay, any other business?
No, I do not have any other business.
Other business, anyone? Okay, there's no reason to enter into closed session. So, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.